Well, hello again to my people. Hello to those of you who are out there pounding the pavement, making those sales calls, getting your customers to say yes when it makes a difference. And you know something? If you're selling the right product, it always makes a difference. My name is Mace Haroff, and welcome to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast and the Medical Sales Channel Simulcast. Now, it's not really simulcast because you could listen to this broadcast in either place. Maybe you'll listen to it in both. Who knows? But each week, I bring you updates, advice, strategies, tactics to move your medical sales success forward. So you might be wondering, in fact, I know you're wondering, what do I want to talk to you about today? Well, I want to talk to you about success. Now, success is one of those words that gets kicked around a lot in the, you know, in the personal development space, in the corporate world. You know, if you want to be a rep, you want to be a successful sales rep. You know, you want to get out there. You want to make it. But one of the things I got to tell you is, you know, you go through life and you have these different concepts of what success really means. And success means different things to you in different stages of your life. So wherever you are in your life right now, unless you're closer to the end, and hopefully, and if you were, you probably wouldn't be listening to this, because if you're close to the end, find something else to listen to. There's more important things. I'm going to talk about that. But there's always this chasing success. And medical sales professionals are very, very guilty of that. In fact, let's be honest. Why do most people go into medical sales? It's not because they're looking for an easy job. I promise you that. There are many, many easier ways to make a living than medical sales. But people go in because they want to earn a good income. Now, earning a good income, that's a very different thing from being successful. Certainly, earning a good income can be a part of your success, but just, you know, working a gazillion hours a week and making tons of money doesn't necessarily make you successful. How do most people who are starting out in this field or any other field, how do they judge their success? Yeah, they usually judge it by the amount of money that they make. And it's not just the money. Why do they want the money? Usually they want the money because they want to buy stuff. I mean, people want stuff. You want stuff. You know, I want stuff. I might want different stuff than you want, but let's be honest. We both want stuff. But there is this belief that stuff is going to make your life better. And I'll give you an example. You know, back when I was out there selling all the time, and it's probably still this way today, a lot of successful medical sales reps, they want the Rolex watch. You know, they want the watch that says, you know, hey, I've been pretty successful because I'm wearing a Rolex. Now, this particular watch here, it was given to me in 1986. I know some of you weren't even born back then, but that's okay. I forgive you and I still love you. This was given to me in 1986 by my distributor because I had a blowout year. I just took a new territory and tripled the business. And the territory was doing pretty well. I did what the person who was in the territory before me couldn't do. And the distributor gave me this very nice Rolex Submariner dive watch. Now, I got to tell you, it was great. And the watch has meaning to me because it was given to me by the distributor, because I earned it. I really think I earned it. Now, I got to tell you the truth. I would not have bought it for myself. I'm not the kind of person who can justify paying this amount of money just to know what time it is. Now, are there people who buy a watch because they want other people to think they're successful? Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's the reason why most people buy luxury items. They want to look successful. And if you're in that category, that's fine. But I got to tell you, as I'm thinking now, if anybody ever looked at me because I was wearing a Rolex and said, you know, he's wearing a Rolex, he must be pretty successful. If they wanted to think that, that's fine. But I got to be honest with you, you know, this didn't make me successful. In fact, I'm not even sure that while I was selling, I was successful. I was making a great income. But is that really success? for many years in my career, I'd have to say it wasn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, success because, you know, to be able to have luxury things. And yeah, I mean, I've had luxury cars, you know, I've had the Mercedes Benz and, you know, that's something else that I got to tell you. Didn't work out really well for me. The car was great until it went out of warranty. And when it went out of warranty, it got very, very expensive. And I got rid of it and went back to buying a dependable car that didn't have the trappings of success. You know, I will tell you that the car I went to after the Mercedes was the kind of car that people don't look at you twice. In fact, if I went to a valet stand and asked them to park the car up front, they wouldn't do it. It's just not a fancy car. If you like nice fancy cars because you're a car guy or a car girl, great. That's wonderful. But the realization I've had going down the road is that if you're working just for these things, for these luxury items, sooner or later, you're probably going to realize it just doesn't do it for you. Because, I mean, you know, if you have a Mercedes, you know, then you want a Porsche and you buy the Porsche and then you want a Lamborghini. And then after the Lamborghini, you want whatever comes after a Lamborghini. I'm not a car guy. I don't know. But you could only buy so much stuff. You can only buy so many big houses before it's just, you know, not cutting it for you. Now, don't get me wrong. I get it. If you've never had the luxury stuff because you grew up poor like I did, I mean, I grew up poor. I'm not just saying that. My mother, my father, my sister, and I lived in a one-bedroom apartment. I had a bed in the living room next to the piano. I slept next to a piano. Maybe that's why I love music so much, is because I had those piano keys just inches from my head. Interestingly, I took up the saxophone. You would have thought that I would have slept next to a saxophone, but no, it was a piano. But anyway, I grew up poor. So yeah, I mean, when there was an opportunity to have these luxury things, the things that I could never have, I wanted them. But I got to be honest with you, once I got them, it was kind of like, okay, that's, you know, that's nice. It's nice having a nice car. But the reality was, it was just a car. Life is really more about the experiences that you have. I mean, that's what I've learned. And it's what a lot of people describe as life and ultimately as success. There's a singer named James Taylor. If you're my age or somewhere around that, you've heard of James Taylor. If not, you might want to check him out. There's a song that kind of changed my life by James Taylor. It's called The Secret of Life. And the main lyric in the song is, "The secret of life is enjoying the passage of time." That's it. That's the secret of life. There's no reaching the top of the mountain and there are thunderbolts and lightning and fireworks. The secret of life is being able to enjoy every moment of every day as much as possible. And if you're in medical sales, that can be difficult to do. There's a lot of trials and tribulations. There's resistant customers, difficult customers. You do the best you can and you try to have as much pleasure in your job as you can. But it can't all be about stuff because stuff will just wear you out. Stuff doesn't sustain you. Let me tell you about a guy who I knew in medical sales for a long time. In fact, probably the most successful guy. Well, I don't want to say the most successful guy, and I'll tell you why in a minute. That's really a misnomer. He earned more as a sales rep in medical sales than anybody else I've ever known. He was making well over $1 million a year selling medical devices. His name is Bob. I was going to say his name was Bob, but his name probably still is Bob. Most successful rep you know, I've ever known. But was he? You see, he earned a lot of money. You know, I mean, you know, a million or more, there's times when he probably earned a multiple of that. You know, so most people say he's successful. Oh, and he had all the trappings of success. He drove a new Mercedes or BMW, the big one, you know, the 7 Series, or again, I'm not a car guy, whatever the deluxe models are of the Mercedes, all black, had it custom detailed. Every weekend, someone would come out to his house. The car never had a water spot on it. Wore very expensive gold jewelry, great looking clothes. I mean, fine clothes. This is who the guy was. Now, how did he get all this? Number one, he was smart. He had great selling skills, phenomenal salesperson. But his work habits were like off the chart. He didn't sleep. He worked 7 days a week. And when I say he didn't have a life, I mean, he didn't have a life. I mean, 7 days a week, he's out there making sales calls, putting out fires, you know, handling all the crises that arise in a territory. He'd be setting up cases. He wouldn't use a courier or somebody to set up cases. He worked in the surgical implants area. He would do it himself because it was the only way he knew that it was going to be done right. And he didn't want anything to go wrong because he never wanted to lose business. And he would give up sleep before he would give up business. You know, if he was home on weekends, you know, what he'd be doing was catching up on paperwork, you know, planning for the next week. I mean, he worked around the clock. Now, you should know, was Bob married? Yeah. 2, 3, 4 times. I've kind of lost track. You know, if you were married to Bob, you were pretty lonely because he was never around. And if he was around, he was working. But, well, you know, it's not true. He would take his wife out for dinner, you know, probably several times a week, but never alone. He would always bring a customer along to entertain the customer. Again, it was all about the business. He had children. And interesting, his kids went off, moved out of the house, went off to college. And I can honestly tell you, they grew up without their dad. Bob wasn't around. They were well provided for. They had great stuff. I mean, when they went to school, their stuff was as good, probably a lot better than the other kids because Bob had great stuff. But the truth is, they didn't have a dad growing up. And the relationships, you know, more or less speak about that. So let me ask you a question. Is Bob successful? I mean, he's got a lot of stuff. His kids have a lot of stuff. I guess it depends on how you look at success. Most people wouldn't call what Bob had or even has a life. You see, the way I see it, success is certainly being able to have goals, to have financial success, you know, being able to hit those financial goals that you want. But real success is being able to enjoy it, being able to enjoy the fruits of your labors, you know, spending time with people you care about. You know, there's people in your life, hopefully there are people in your life that you do care about, whether it's your family, friends, whoever it is. And there's probably also things that you enjoy doing besides work. Now, if the answer to that seeming question is, well, no, there's nothing I enjoy outside of work, then you really need to get a life. I got to tell you, because work isn't your life. As I was taught by Alan Weiss, work is fuel for your life. It just allows you to do the things that you want to do so you could spend the time with the family and the friends. And, you know, you got to have interests, things that you enjoy doing that make you feel good. And if you want to do them, you can't feel guilty about doing the things that make you happy. Because if you're not happy, if you don't fulfill yourself, you're going to be resentful of others. This has become very cliche, but you know, a lot of speakers share the story now that when you're on an airplane, they give you the emergency announcement. And if the oxygen mask should drop from the ceiling, put your own oxygen mask on first before helping others. The wisdom in that is that you're of no use to anyone else unless you take care of yourself first. So if you're in medical sales, you know, this isn't just to talk to you about success for no reason, but to make sure you have some level of, I hate to use the term balance in your life. You know, people use the term work-life balance, where, as another friend of mine points out to me, work-life balance is bullshit. It doesn't exist. You're never going to spend as much time playing, having fun, enjoying your life as you will at work. Until you get to a certain point, you're retired or semi-retired. But just the way we work here in the United States and in most civilized areas of the world, you spend more time at work than you do at play. You know, it kind of looks, you know, something like this. So if work-life balance really doesn't exist, you have to have a healthy proportion of you time versus work time. How do you do that? Well, one thing is you have to create boundaries. There have to be boundaries in your life. You know, when you're working, work. You know, don't work a little bit and then play a little bit. There's so many people who do this, especially people where there's no one watching their every movement. If you're out in the territory to make sales calls, to cover cases, to close deals, then that's what you should be focused on the entire time you're out there. And you can do this, and I will prove it to you. Have you ever had to get a lot of things done in the territory before going on vacation? I'm sure you have. If you've been in a territory long enough and you've taken time off, what happens is there's things that you have to absolutely get done before you go away. What happens? You get it done. When you're under the gun, when the flame is licking at your heels, you do what you got to get done to meet the deadlines. So here's one thing you can do. Do that every day. In other words, set deadlines. You know, by all means, I believe in making the late sales call. You know, if you have customers who are, you know, let's say a doctor who's in the office at 5:30, 5:45, one of the best times there is to make a sales call, because usually the pressure is off, you're providing a change of subject, and hopefully you're providing a good measure of value that makes that doctor or whoever that customer is feel better about the next time he or she is going to be facing patients or practicing medicine, however they do it. But when you're done with that, you need to disconnect. Go into your time off. You know, and if you have call time, you know, if there's times when you're on call for the territory, there's also got to be times when you're not on call for the territory. And when you're not on call, be off call. Focus on who you're with. Focus on what you're doing. This is how you put your own oxygen mask on first. And when I talked about going on vacation, what happens when you have a deadline like that is you become efficient. There is this forced efficiency. You need to think about your efficiency all the time. This is what planning ahead, you know, planning your day in the territory is about, so that when you get out there, you know exactly what's going to happen. And there are contingencies if for whatever reason, you know, something doesn't work out. Let's say you have a sales call planned and boom, you get in there, the call cancels. Okay, where do you go next? You're in a certain geographic area. Where's the nearest place you could go and have a productive 30 minutes, 45 minutes? You know, what's your backup plan? Always have a plan so that you can be efficient. This makes all the difference in the world. Try to do more in less time. And also, if you want to be able to relax when you're not working, make sure you stay above quota. In fact, well above quota. Now, I got to tell you, if you're selling a decent product, it's not that hard to hit quota. It really isn't. If you plan it out, if you know how much you need to earn every quarter, every month, every week, every day, if you work backwards like that, then you know exactly what your activities need to be able to achieve those outcomes. That's all it is. It's not that hard. And if you're having difficulty doing that, then find someone who could help you. I can help you. My medical sales course, Medical Sales Academy, can help you. Just check it out at medicalsalesacademy.com. I'm not going to do a commercial for it now. But I'm serious. You have to be able to take control of your life. Stay ahead of quota. And if you're spread too thin, don't be like Bob. I mean, Bob wouldn't hire anybody. You know, hire people to help you out. You know, maybe you could hire a junior sales associate or an assistant salesperson, whatever you want to call it, someone who could do the setup, the legwork, you know, pick up the POs, make the deliveries, things like that, so you could go out and call on customers. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, you know what, if I do that, it's going to cost me money. In fact, I'll essentially have an employee. It's going to cost me a chunk of money. Well, go to your manager, go to your distributor, and see if they could split it with you. Find an equitable way to work it out with the understanding that you will be more productive. You will sell more. And if you do everything the right way, this will happen. But I'm going to share one other thing with you. If you really, really want to be productive, and if you really want to be successful, find a cause to champion that's bigger than you are. You know, selling medical devices is cool, but, you know, selling a device is selling a device. Why do you sell it? You sell it to make money. We've already established that. you sell it to hit quota. That's a given. But ultimately, if you could find a way to sell your device where it's not just a job, it becomes a mission. It's about doing the best thing for the healthcare provider and the patient. You know, when you have a belief in your heart that your product will do more good for the patient than anything else out there, when you could convince yourself of that, or when you could provide the collateral services and information, education that can make that happen, when you could deliver it in a way that you know that the customers who use your services and products, that their patients are going to be better than if they were using anyone else's products, then you're on a crusade. I'm not just saying that. You're really on a crusade. And when you're on a crusade like that, and it's bigger than you, nothing is going to stop you. Nothing is going to deter you. And you will find ways to get out there and be efficient and get in front of as many customers and prospects as possible. And you'll do whatever it takes to close those deals. Hitting quota, that won't ever be an issue again. But at the end of the day, you know, medical sales is a really cool job because it allows you to impact people and it allows you to provide well for your family. It was almost difficult for me to say that. So focus on the right things and your career might take off in a different direction. But at the end of the day, at the end of the year, and at the end of your career, when you look back and you ask yourself, was I successful? It won't just be based on the amount of money that you made or the stuff that you accumulated. And if you'd like more help about how to get through your territory, to bolster your selling skills, to be able to add the things in that you don't have right now, the missing components that could be holding you back, check out Medical Sales Academy at medicalsalesacademy.com. That is my online 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day support and learning platform for medical sales professionals. The price is a bargain compared to what you get out of it. I wish you success, but I also wish you a definition of success that carries you through every day of your career and for the rest of your life. For the Medical Sales Guru podcast and the Medical Sales Channel, this has been a little bit different, hasn't it? This is Mace Haroff, and don't forget that whatever you do in your career, the patient always comes first. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye for now.